Amen. Good morning again. I welcome you. A little trouble getting that top off of that bottle. Sorry about that. Greetings in the name of Christ. We welcome you here today. Those of you who will be watching by Facebook, glad to come to you that way. Wish you could be here with us. There's nothing like being together in the house of God, but we realize that some people can't, and we're glad to be able to reach out to you that way, and it'll stay up for a while. These sermons used to stay on for years, but they've changed that policy now. They go away and after, about a month or something now. But I was amazed. I used to get replies from people over a sermon that, like when we done the porch worship and all that, it'd be a year or two out there and people be saying stuff about it. Amazing. But we're happy to be here today live right here in the house of God, and glad that you're here today, and hopefully we have a word from God for you here today, and for me, something that will encourage us today. Now, this is the second Sunday of Advent, which gives us 4 weeks to prepare for Christmas, you know, to celebrate the birth of our Savior. And also, not just that, but to celebrate in looking forward to, in expectation, His second Advent, His coming again. Okay. The Sunday of Peace. Jesus was referred to as the Prince of Peace by Isaiah a long time ago. And that's what he done to bring us to peace. He came to mediate a condition of peace between a fallen creation and our Maker, God the Father. Jesus has done that. Shortly before he went away, he had quite a bit to say about peace to his disciples. And I want us to look at John chapter 16 today. And we don't have our video up there. I don't really use it, but I miss it. You know, it's one of them things. But anyhow, if you catch me gazing, that's what it's about. But I do not hardly ever use it. But anyhow, John chapter 16 and verse 29. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. So the disciples saying here, we're sure now. Behold, the hour cometh, Jesus said here. Boy, Jesus answered and said, Do you now believe? So he said, Are you sure about this? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, and now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Listen, Jesus didn't just talk to be talking. When he spoke, it was for purpose. And he says, I have spoken these words to you for a purpose. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And the subject today is the peace that Jesus gives us. This is a peace that the world doesn't understand. But those who've experienced, you know what it is. And Jesus said, I want you to have this peace. Let's talk about peace today. Let's pray first. Lord God, we thank you for the peace that you give us in Jesus' name, amidst of the tribulations and troubles of this world, we can have peace in Jesus, and we praise you for that. Lord, there's some things we need to do to have this peace and to cultivate it, but it's available, and we thank you for that. Lord, I pray if there be those who are here today or viewing that are longing for some real meaningful peace, that the Spirit of God would speak to them today, and they would come seeking the kind of peace that only comes from Jesus. Lord, we pray for the sick, for those who've lost their loved ones, for the trouble. We pray for the needs of our people, and thank you, Jesus, for coming. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that Jesus gives. Now we know that as Jesus began to talk about the end, which means the cross, the death, burial, and resurrection, not things that typically cheer up people, especially the disciples who had relied so heavily upon him. And why wouldn't you? You know, if you walked with Jesus for 3 years, why wouldn't you rely heavy upon him? Why don't we rely heavy upon him today? I don't know. Sometimes we don't, but we can. But anyhow, he was there physically in presence with them, and that was good. And they enjoyed every minute of it, and they looked forward to really more of the same, only maybe getting better, ushering in the kingdom of Israel and the throne of David there and reigning upon this earth. Those were some of the thoughts that they had. But when he began to talk about the cross, the death, burial, and the resurrection, and that I'm actually going to Jerusalem and I'm going to die here in Jerusalem, that that rung a different tune into their ears. And so, quite naturally, they were troubled. And he addressed it several times, trying to prepare them, telling them about the Holy Spirit who would come and be another comforter. You know, I won't be here physically to comfort you, but I will come to you in the person of the Holy Spirit, and trying to prepare them. And he knew that life would be a struggle, and it proved to be so. The early days after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, you know, these men who had followed him throughout the 3 years of ministry were devastated. Broken, you know, where do we turn to? What do we do? And hopelessness, you know, about them, and certainly not any peace about them. And so the thoughts of him being taken away from them began to unsettle their nerves, and they didn't quite have the peace that they once had. Jesus is there. Just tell him and he'll take care of it. There's a storm. Wake him up. Jesus, peace be still. Peter overextending his privileges and telling him we're going to pay the taxes with not a dime to his name. Jesus, I've committed something here. And he said, okay, Peter, go out there and catch a fish. Open his mouth and there'll be a coin there. And go pay that taxes that you committed to pay. And you know, he could do anything. Somebody's sick, Lord. Jesus, come. Heal them. Lazarus has died. Lord, come. Raise him from the dead. You know, the thoughts of that being taken away is very unsettling. And they lost and were in danger of losing the peace that they had. But Jesus tells them, here trying to prepare them, that I want you to have peace. I want you to have some peace about you. Even though things ain't going to be the same, but I want you to have the peace. And these things I've been speaking to you, I'm trying to prepare you. These things have I spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. Now the world's going to offer you up a lot of troubles. And don't get off track, and don't go seeking the peace that the world offers. The world's version of peace is counterfeit. They have their own version of peace that turns into tribulation, which means trouble. You know, it is not real. It is not lasting. It is things that just appeal to the flesh for a short while. And the world is going to trouble us sometimes. There are things that happen to us. We all go through difficulties in life. You'd have to be blind not to see the troubles of this world and to be somewhat concerned about the world, events, and all of those things. And if we're not careful, it can rob us of the peace that is rightfully ours in Jesus. We can have that peace, and we can kind of lay it aside, and we cannot cultivate it and not do the things that are necessary to maintain the health and the growth of that peace that Jesus gives us. It's different than the peace that the world. What can we look forward to in the world? Trouble. But Jesus said, I don't want you to live in torment. I don't want you to be terrified of these things. You know these things are coming. And the secret of the peace for you is found in me. The peace in me you might have peace. You know, there's going to be trouble in the world, but I have overcome the world. The victory is Jesus. We know that Jesus came in Bethlehem, and we're approaching that Christmas, you know, event that we celebrate his coming, that God came to man in the form of a human, took on flesh to participate in the human experience like we do, so he would know all about our troubles. You know, he's experienced life's ebb and flows, the disappointments, the hardships of life, and all of these things. Jesus took part in the flesh, and he knows what we go through. And he says to his disciples, I don't want you to be overcome by the troubles of the world. You can have peace in me. How do we do that? By remembering and not forgetting that Jesus overcame the world. The victory is his. He rose from the dead. You know, that's one thing. We had a little Christmas dinner last night, and I don't usually do too much preaching at those things, but there's a lot of uncertain events in our line of business and in our lives today. A lot of people there, and I said, you know, probably for the first time in my life, I'm having to say I don't know about so many things. It's been my life's business to be able to give some answers and support and to say, hey, here's what we're going to do, here's a plan to do this and that, but there's a lot of things in my life that, you know, it's caught me off guard, and I don't really have a plan. I've always been a cautious person to have a plan A and B and sometimes C. So people are coming to me today asking things I don't know, and that's kind of hard to do. But I said, guys and wives and all, I do want to tell you this. Even though there's a lot of things I don't know about, I am certain of one thing, and that is that Jesus is Lord. I am certain that he came to Bethlehem and was born and became a man. I am certain that he was crucified on the cross. I am certain that he was buried. I am certain that he rose from the dead. And I am equally certain that he is coming again. The second advent, you know. We celebrate his first advent, his first coming, but the second advent, we can have peace in that. These other things rob us of our peace and trouble us now, but Jesus said, I want you to know that you can have peace in me. I've spoken these things that you might have peace. God wants us to have peace. The Prince of Peace came to give us peace. In the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus here talking to the disciples, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you." We need to understand that it is His peace that He has given us. And when we get off track searching for peace in other areas of life, and this peace that the world gives us that only brings trouble, tribulation. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." That is your gift from Jesus Christ. As a Christian, He has given us the gift of peace. If we will take it, if we will cultivate it and use it, "My peace I give you, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You know, we get afraid. Disciples are afraid. They're afraid. They don't want to go through life without Jesus. They'd had His physical presence with them. There are things that happen to us in our lives that cause us to be afraid. You know, sometimes we get afraid. But Jesus said, "You don't have to be afraid. I don't want you to be afraid. My peace I give you." You know, "Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid." What's He saying? Trust me. I have overcome the world. It's not, the battle is really not between us and the world to overcome it. Jesus has already overcome it. We get to share in His victory. Sometimes we feel like it's us up against the world. It is not. Your Savior has already overcome the world, and you can share in His victory. And that should bring joy to our hearts. Now, there is some conditions, some things that we need to do to maintain a healthy amount of this peace and see that we don't lose it and forget about it. We've been studying in Bible study the book of Philippians this past week. Part of it was about this peace that we're talking about. You know, Jesus said, "It is my peace." It is a gift that He has given to us. You need to claim it. It is your heritage. God didn't make you to live in misery in the midst of trouble and all that. You know, troubles are going to come, but we can even have peace in those times because of what Jesus has given us. And He has given you that gift. Take it and use it. Paul said to the church in Philippi, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." That's a simple thing there. Prayer and supplication. Prayer is pretty much general prayers. You know, we all pray those things. And I was able to tell Renee last night, I pray for you every day. You know, we pray about a lot of people, and then supplication maybe about some specific burden that God has put on you, something you're troubled. Narrow down that at times and get into supplication about what are we troubled about. Pray about it. It says, you know, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving." No whining, no complaining, but with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. I don't have the peace I used to have. Are you doing what the Word of God says? Are we in everything by prayer and sometimes supplication with thanksgiving? We start off our prayers whining and telling God, "Oh Lord, you don't know what you're putting me through, what I'm going through here." Or do we start out by saying, "First of all, I want to thank you for your grace and mercy upon me. I want to thank you that I'm even worthy to bow before you and call upon your name. These are things that Paul says that we need to do. In the next verse, he says, and, you know, if we will do these things, prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, no whining, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He didn't say maybe, could be, shall keep your hearts and minds, shall keep you. This is a promise in God's word. And listen, this peace of God is something that passes all understanding. People that aren't saved, this message today won't make any sense to them. You know, well, maybe if I'll do this or that, I'll get some peace. But we're talking about real peace. Jesus said, my peace that I give you, you know, with a purpose. We can't really explain it to people. I guess the most accurate way that I can explain this peace of God is that when I had open heart surgery, I had no fears. You know, and I'm not particularly a brave person when it comes to health issues. I'll tell you that. I have anxiety at times, but I had perfect peace. I had perfect peace. That was the peace of God. We say we can go to bed at night and pillow our heads with the peace of God. Hey, if I don't live to tomorrow, we'll go to be with glory. And I was able to share with Renee last night, and she's a Christian, you know, and she's facing very serious health issues. You know, if we don't get through it, well, we go to better things. Praise God. And she was able to say, yeah, praise God, you know, and we talked about that. You know, there are better things awaiting for God's people, and the peace of God which passes all understanding. And Paul says, I can't explain it to you. The human mind can't explain it, but it's something that we can sense and feel and know that it is of God. There's no other place you get this peace of God other than through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul said, you won't, he's talking to Christian people here, by the way. He's talking to these people here in Philippians and Philippi, the first church in the European continent who've been saved by grace. And he's saying, you need to cultivate the peace of God. It is your gift that God wants to give you. You need to pray and supplicate with all prayer and thanksgiving, right attitude, prayer, and then the peace of God, which passes all this understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. The peace of God, unexplainable to the world, but it is real. It is real. To those who are unsaved, I would say to you, it is real. Come to the fountain and experience, is the best we could say to you. In the book of Romans, we talk about the peace mission that Jesus came upon. Jesus came, took on the form of a servant, participated in the human flesh. He added the flesh of man to his deity. But he has come on a peace mission. That's what he's come for. To bring the fallen creation back into fellowship with God the Father, with our Maker. Paul says, in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Boy, oh, we want to be at peace with God, don't we? We want to be at peace one with another. We want to be at peace with our neighbors and all these things. But it all starts with being at peace with God. For us to be at peace with ourselves, we must be at peace with God. We may know moments of being happy with ourselves. We might even halfway master the fact of being happy with ourselves and maybe happy and at peace with our neighbors, but God wants and demands balance in our lives. He does. He wants you to be whole. You know, Jesus did not halfway fix people. Go and be whole. You know, go and be whole. Whatever it's about. Be completely whole. And that's what God desires for his people today. And that has to start with our relationship with him. We must be at peace with God. It's simple, you know, the commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. That means with all your being, you must love God. Hey, got to be at peace with God first. And then the next one, namely, is likened to it, this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, be at peace with your neighbor, you know, as much as possible. Be at peace with all men. That's challenging in some men. And then I also think it means that we need to be at peace with ourselves, you know. And to be completely at peace with ourselves, we must be at peace with God and our neighbors, you know. And then we can be whole. We have this peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we have it, through him. And it is a gift from him. It is a gift that Jesus gives us, and we can know this peace only through Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Didn't say we was going to be exempt from tribulations, did it? But we can glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in the hearts by the Holy Ghost, which he has given us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were yet enemies, we were reconciled by God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And we can be at peace with God through what Jesus has done for us. The most meaningful peace, you know, we seek inner peace, and that's a gift of God. But the most meaningful peace is the peace that he makes between us and God. He is the mediator. You know, we were sinners, and somebody had to bring us back into fellowship, into peace with God. We were at enmity with God, and Jesus made peace between us and God, and we can be at peace with him through what he has done. Paul spoke about peace, there being the gospel of peace. in the book of Ephesians. The gospel of peace itself, the good news of Jesus brings peace to us, you know. Brings peace to where we can be at peace with God. We can be at peace with our neighbors. We can be at peace with ourselves. That's missing. All three of them are missing in a lot of our culture today. People are not at peace with God. They're not at peace with their neighbor. They're not at peace with themselves. But they can be if they'll come to Jesus and submit to Him. The Prince of Peace has come to bring us peace. This peace is only available through Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul says in the book of Philippians, and we talk about a part of the Advent Sundays is also looking with expectation to the future coming of Christ. It's not just to celebrate His birth, that's part of it, but also with joyous expectation of His second event. It's very important that we be in peace with God because of what's up next, what's coming next. When Jesus died on the cross after He was born in Bethlehem, He goes to Jerusalem, dies on the cross. They bury Him in a barred tomb, and He was raised from the dead 3 days later. He rose from the dead. And He appeared unto the disciples and certain others and hung around this earth for about 40 days. And then He ascended to heaven. And the Bible says that today He is at the right hand of the throne of God. That's why you can say, as a child of God, we have friends in high places. We have a friend in high places. His name is Jesus Christ, and He is seated at the right hand of God. So we're up against some spiritual wickedness and a lot of wickedness in this world, but it doesn't matter because He's overcome that, and we have a friend in the highest of high places, and He's there for you. All right. So all of that happened. Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, the throne of God. What happens next? What happens next? Well, I'll tell you what happens next. He's coming again. And in light of this future event of the second coming of Jesus Christ, we certainly would want to be what? Found at peace with Him. We want to be found at peace with Him. And Peter would say over here in 2 Peter, I find the scripture, chapter 3 and verse 14. St. Peter says, "Wherefore, beloved," and this is right after he's just given the description of the second coming of Jesus. And he's saying, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent," church. Be diligent. Peter is speaking to God's people. Be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. Peter said, be diligent, church. We affirm that He is coming, so let's be diligent that we are at peace with Him when He comes. Now, why is that important? It's because St. Paul spells out some of the things that's going to happen and how Jesus is coming back. He's coming back in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, born in a manger. No. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power. That's why we want to be diligent that we be found at peace with him when he comes. So we want to enjoy the peace that Jesus gives here. We want to be at peace with God so we can be balanced in our life, be at peace with ourselves and with our neighbors. And I'll tell you, this third part, we certainly want to be at peace with Jesus when he comes, because it's not going to be good for those who have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's coming to punish them with everlasting destruction, taking vengeance upon them that know not God and have obey not the gospel. You know, Jesus said, repent and believe the gospel. How do we get this kind of peace, Pastor? Repent and believe the gospel. That's where you start. And then there's that part about cultivating it. And there are times we have to get busy cultivating it. It's not always easy, but it is your gift from Jesus. Don't surrender that peace. He died to give it for you. It is your gift. I'm going to close now, and I'd like to ask you here today, and for all who are listening to us on the Facebook, do you have the peace that Jesus gives? I wish I could explain it to you if you don't, but the Bible says it's beyond explanation. It's beyond human understanding. It is real. Do you long to be at peace with God? You only do that through Jesus. Paul says we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way to be at peace with God the Father than through Jesus Christ. So if you've not been saved today, we want to send out an urgent plea to you. Come today and be saved and say, I want to be at peace with my Maker. I want to be at peace with myself. I want to be at peace with my neighbors and all around me. I want to be at peace with Jesus when he comes. Maybe we're struggling and we have forgotten that it is our heritage to have the peace of God. Doesn't mean that we ain't going to have troubles. Doesn't mean that we ain't going to struggle. But there is a remedy here. Prayer, supplication, and do it with thanksgiving. Do these things. Do the work. He will give you peace. It is your heritage. Claim this wonderful gift that Jesus died for you. Peace. Not as the world gives it, but as he gives it to you. Let's stand together this morning. Brother Danny will come. We're going to have a song of invitation. If you need to be saved, or if you need to come back and claim this peace that is yours, you know, sometimes we forget about it. We don't cultivate it. We don't claim it. Well, it is your gift from Jesus. It's yours. Come and claim it. Shall we sing, Brother Danny?